In today's gospel, the Magi come to worship the Lord with gifts that proclaim him as king, priest, and sacrificial lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all of the priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Most of you here probably at one time or another have watched the CBS news program 60 Minutes. You might remember that some years ago, one of their reporters was a man named Charles Kuralt. And he used to go around the country visiting interesting sites, interesting people, and then maybe once a month, one of the segments on 60 Minutes would be him sharing his visit to these places. Well, some years ago, he made a visit to the mountain people of West Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Now, you know, the mountain people who live in those areas have their own culture, really, kind of a subset of American culture. And in this program, Charles Kuralt shared with all of us the things the mountain people know that we don't know. For example, did you know that if you put up your windows, all the windows of your house, at the stroke of midnight on January 1st, all the bad luck of the last year will go out, and all the good luck of the new year will come in? I bet you didn't know that. Or I bet you didn't know that if you want to know what the weather's going to be like any month of the year, the new year, look at what the weather was like the first 12 days of January. So if you want to know, for example, what the weather is going to be like in May, look what the weather was like on January 5th. If it was warm, cold, rainy, whatever, that's the way it was going to be in May. Or I bet you didn't know that if you have an itchy nose, you're going to get a visit. Somebody's going to visit you. Or did you know that if you have a honeybee circling around your head, that's a sign you're going to find some money? I bet you didn't know those things. Of course, Charles Kuralt is presenting these with tongue in cheek, right? But before we make too much fun of the mountain people and their superstitions, look at our own superstitions, right? But I share that with you this morning because it does raise an interesting question for us. What do you know is really true that you can base your life on? What do you believe is absolutely the truth and you can count on it and you can base your life on it? I'd like to suggest that if we look closely at the stable today, we see God revealing to us an absolute truth which we can found our lives on. And we see that truth when we look at the two groups of people that we see there. You know, we look at the stable so often. We get, how many Christmas cards did you get this year, for example, that had a stable scene? And we see Mary and Joseph and the baby, and we see the shepherds, and we see today the wise men coming. And we just kind of take it all for granted. But if we look more deeply, we see this truth I'm talking about. And that truth is revealed to us. If we look at the differences between the shepherds and the wise men, look at them for a minute. Couldn't find two more different groups of people. The shepherds were poor. You didn't make a lot of money tending sheep at the time of Jesus. The wise men were rich. They had all these marvelous gifts to lay at the feet of the child. The shepherds were kind of an underclass of Jewish society. Now, it's true that they were always admired for their dedication to the flock. That's why Jesus could call himself the Good Shepherd. But they really were considered to be second-class Jewish citizens for several reasons. First, if you're out on the slopes taking care of your sheep, it's a 24/7 job. You can't get away to go to synagogue. Secondly, if you're out there on the hillsides, you can't do all the ritual washings and ablutions that the religious Jewish people were expected to do. You just can't do it. And thirdly, let's face it, if you're with sheep 24/7, you don't smell too good. So, you know, the shepherds were, as they say, kind of an underclass of Jewish society. The wise men were the elites of their society. They were the advisors to the kings. They were the ones who did the studied the stars. They were the elites, the cultural elites of their day. The shepherds were basically ignorant, didn't have time to go study the Torah or anything else. The wise men were the PhDs of their day. Their whole life was given to study. Now, turn things around a little bit, though. The wise men were pagans. They worshipped false gods, at least until they found Christ. The shepherds, even though they were an underclass, still were members of the chosen people. They worshipped the true God. They were heirs of all the promises. They were sons of Abraham. So look at it all together. What do you find? Two absolutely different groups of people, separated by all kinds of differences. But here's the truth. Here's that truth God reveals to us. Both of groups of those people are called to the stable. They're all called there. The shepherds are called by the angels. The wise men are called by a star. For all of their differences, they're called to come to the stable and see their salvation. See the truth of that, huh? What's that say to you and me? That we've got a place at the stable too. That God calls all of us to the stable. Every one of us. No matter what differentiates us from one another, Christ has come for us all. Poor, rich, black, white, brown, whatever nationality, whatever profession, doesn't make any difference to him. We're all called to the stable. Every one of us has a place there to receive our salvation. We can base our lives on that. That's the absolute truth. And when we stop to think about it, we can understand why that is the truth. Look at these two groups of people again, the Magi and the shepherds. In spite of all their differences, don't you think that both of those groups of men loved their wives and their children? Don't you think that all of them enjoyed sitting down with their family and friends around a meal, laughing and singing and dancing? Don't you think that all of them, in spite of their differences, looked up at the sky and marveled at the beauty of creation, looked out at the flowers of the field and rejoiced? Don't you think that all of them looked around the world where they lived and saw the war and the violence and the hatred and wondered why things couldn't be different? Don't you think that all of them looked inside themselves and saw the war that sometimes goes on within ourselves? We want to do one thing, but we don't. We don't want to do something, but we do. Don't they all experience that? Don't you think they all looked at themselves and saw how brief their lives in this world were? The transitoriness and the feebleness, ultimately, of our lives. Don't you think they all experienced all those things? So you see, in spite of all their differences, there was a common humanity, something that bound them all together on the most basic level. That's because we're all sons and daughters of God, all created by Him. And every one of us, in spite of all those differences, is called to the stable to receive our salvation. You know how we experience that today? We experience it today right here in this church. You know how? When we come forward to receive communion, every single one of us will receive the full Christ. Every single one of us will receive everything Christ has got to give us. Doesn't make a difference who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, what nationality you are, what your job is. It makes no difference. When you come, you receive the full Christ. We're all called because we all need to be saved. So as we gather this morning, let's praise God for revealing to us that truth, that fundamental, basic truth, that every single one of us is called to the stable to receive our salvation. You have a place at the stable. May God bless you.